Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back once again to another edition of the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Call. This is the show where we talk about, well, actually, I guess this occurred to me this week. We talk about the conclusions first, and then we go back and fill in some of the gaps. So Revelation 18:4 is the verse that says, come out of her, my people, basically, so that you do not participate in her sins, and hopefully then do not partake of her plagues. As I've said for a long time now, both the sins and the plagues are not only upon us, but they're beyond obvious. And let me go back to this idea that I began with just now. The conclusions, therefore, haven't changed. We already know how we're going to end up, and that's come out of her, be separate. Yeah, as you know, I've been doing this show for over a decade at this point. There are lots and lots of elements involved in that. One of them, though, that I think has really come to a head of late, and it's a topic I have addressed before, but some things have changed lately, so we're going to talk about it in a different way today. But that topic is, how do we arm our friends, our neighbors, our family, even ourselves, to not only understand what we need to do, but actually to get up and do it? And, you know, if you've ever thought about it, or if you've not yet moved out of the cesspool cities, if you're still in a place where you say, oh, I know I need to get going and time is drawing short, but, oh, you know, I got a job, I got kids over here, is that worth dying for? Or worse still, is it worth letting everyone else die for because you were just too lazy to do the right thing? Let me begin today's look at how we get there with this introduction. And that is, one of the things that's changed over the last couple of weeks is the Biden Fuhrer. And I've used that term for, as you know, a long, long time, folks. But if you've seen the memes online, and if you haven't, take a look. They're all over the place. Of Biden with his raised fist standing in the gates of hell before the red with the Marines flanking him. Achtung, we will come and get you. Declaring war on the American people. The parallels with Adolf Hitler, with the bad guy from the movie V for Vendetta, and even the motif, the color, the Nazi red, black, and white, the Biden red, black, and white, the V for Vendetta red, black, and white. Well, let me put it this way. Biden's Gates of Hell speech clearly woke up a lot of people. And honestly, I don't think most Americans really understand the depth of evil there. But they're at least starting to get a clue. The speech, and I actually think the speech was to some degree intentionally divisive, and there's no doubt about that, but it was also kind of a final warning. There'll come a point at which people stand before the Creator and they say, hey, come on, how many warnings did you have to have? And when the Biden Fuhrer stood up and told you what they were going to do, didn't that resonate? So, again, I don't think most people really understand the depth of evil that they literally saw there, but here's the good news. They know that speech, and if they haven't seen it, encourage them. Take a look at it, folks. Don't look at the CNN version. Notice that CNN even changed the color palette partway through so that they could make it less hellish, less blood red, less sinister looking. They pinkened it up a bit. Well, in any case, anybody that saw it knows that it was, without question, it was dark. Yeah, it was sinister. Yeah, let's just be honest. It was downright un-American. It was certainly disturbing. And, can anybody truly deny this that actually watched it? Oh, yes. Did he come right out and say it? Well, yes, in so many words he did. But it was clearly a declaration of war on at least half of America. And if you understand the data and you recognize that you'd have to be blind not to see that the election was stolen and that over half of America now realizes it. So he declared war on over half of America. But you know what? I'm going to suggest, too, that speech was also a litmus test. That's kind of one of the elements at the heart of the topic today. It's a litmus test because, well, it does. It was intended to divide people into two camps. Those that are drinking the Kool-Aid, hopelessly gone and are never going to get it. And those that are starting to say, whoa, is that really the satanic team I want to be on? Even if they have been public school dumbed down and they don't understand Adolf Hitler and they've never watched any of the speeches or looked at history, there's still something that's undeniably sinister, dark, and evil that was going on there, downright disturbing. And I can't help but think a lot of people are at least disturbed by that. And if they're not, folks, there's an indicator for the rest of us. That's why I call it a litmus test. Time to say, just maybe if they can't see it, I need to pull up stakes and separate myself, find some people that are going to be not only have your back when the time comes, but won't be sticking a knife in your back and ratting you out to the Stasi and saying, he's got food. Or if you've ever seen the Invasion of the Body Snatchers movies, you know, opening their mouth and pointing with that, kind of a look on their vacant eyes. There are so many relevant metaphors, so many predictive programming movies that you could point to, but literally we have reached a point where that particular divisive litmus test is impossible to ignore. Now, that follows on top of several others. I'm going to start off with just a quick recap of a couple of those. On top of the poison poke. And, actually I haven't had as many people write me and complain about this. I think most people do understand it. But, do we have to call it the poison poke? Well, you know what? There is a thing, if you've ever heard it, called the Overton window. And this is how propaganda works. They move the Overton window. They move the acceptable level of speech. You know, a few years back, it was just downright verboten to talk openly about bestiality. Well, now it's got a new name, LGBTQ Z, zoophilia. We don't call it LGBTQ B for bestiality, but at least they're saying it's okay. You can be a MAP, a minor attracted good grief, folks. How stupid. No, it's not just stupid. It's downright evil. They have moved the Overton window to where things that were once considered absolute perversion are now okay to talk about, especially if you're a nutcase. So let's try to move the Overton window back. The poison poke, let's call it what it is. It destroys your immune system. It modifies your DNA. It turns you into a little spike protein factory. It puts clots in your blood. It's a stroke poke. It has all these negative features. Most people who have taken more than one of them, if they've taken three or four, again, they're probably helpless and hopeless at this point. But most people who have taken one or two anyway and didn't get duped into the third one are probably by now regretting it. They're watching people drop dead. They're hearing about strange and unexplained sudden deaths, and they're thinking, yeah, there but for the grace of God. Maybe he protected me. Maybe I got the placebo, but there go I. So the poison poke is one of those things. Quick couple of stories to bring that point home. Oh, and we'll see where I'm headed here, because what I'm doing, again, is coming back to this idea of arming ourselves, arming others. We need to have these facts at hand so that when the discussion comes up, and it will, I had several of these kinds of discussions over Labor Day weekend with people that honestly, at least several of them, had taken the poison poke, and it's kind of difficult to tell people, you know, you may have just committed suicide. They don't want to hear that, and you don't necessarily have to tell them that, but you can certainly point them to the Biden-Fuhrer speech and say, hey, did you see that? Did you recognize how dark and sinister that was? And that most of them will say, well, yeah, it was kind of disturbing. Or I didn't see it. Maybe I should watch it. And that's true. All right, so on the poison poke front, here is a story that Lou Rockwell article I saw, it's the Substack for Steve Kirsch. He said it was the most important article he put up on his Substack out of over 700. This should bring down the house of cards. It has to do with Israel, where essentially it is now clear he's got proof, he's got the data, he's put it up, and there are people not in the mainstream media, of course, talking about it. Israel found and then covered up the serious safety problems with the Zyklon B vaccines. Literally, they were given them for 6 months. They didn't even ask the question. They weren't even tracking the data. Then when they did start tracking the data, they only looked at a fraction of it, but still, they saw a huge prevalence of serious long-term side effects, and they hid that. They basically noted that the numbers were incredible. And I'll skip over the rest of this because you can look it up for yourself. Go read it if you've got neighbors, friends, family that want to understand what's really going on. But it makes the simple point. There is true evil going on here. Israel, a nation that a lot of folks respect, covered it up, lied about it, and killed people. Hundreds of thousands of people, arguably millions now worldwide, are at risk of death for all of these side effects that they knew darn well and lied about for a year. Now, how's that for ugly? All right, here's the other story. This one, too, has gotten at least a lot of alternative press. No, you're not going to hear it on CNN or MSNBC. But the embalmers are shocked, I tell you, at what they're finding in dead people. huge numbers of clots. And some embalmers are saying something like 70% of the bodies that we're now trying to embalm have these nasty long clots in them. Foot-long clots, clots that extend the entire length, in some cases, of their leg, down the main vessels and arteries. Embalmers all around the world, said a piece here from Ethan Huff in Natural News, have been finding a sharp uptick in fibrous and rubbery clotting since Operation Warp Speed was launched. Fully vaccinated dead bodies are having to be dredged with these clots. They don't appear even to be made from blood. In other words, a microscopic and a mass spectrometer analysis shows that a lot of the elements that would be found in blood clots, mineral elements, just aren't there. They're something different. Isn't that interesting? In other words, what is being done to their bodies to cause these things to form and kill people? Answer? Well, one thing's for sure. It sure as hell ain't normal. It's not natural, and it is being lied about. Okay, that leads me to where I want to go next, and I've kind of alluded to this, but this idea of arming ourselves, because again, the conclusions haven't changed. We know when I end the show today where it's going to be and what it's going to have as an element of it, obviously, come out of her, my people, the concept of the show. But I want to start with this admonition. This comes from a letter, a fellow named Kepha. You may have heard him called Peter, but his real name was Kepha. And in the first letter he wrote, chapter 3, he says a bunch of things. They're interesting. You've probably heard some of them. But here's the place where I want to begin, where it says, to sum it all up, hey, here's what you need to be: harmonious, sympathetic, loving, compassionate, and humble, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, because you were called for the very purpose that you would inherit a blessing. And then he quotes the prophet, one who desires life to see love and good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. I'll go one step further. We're called to speak the truth boldly, as we ought to, not to keep silent, folks. If people are going to kill themselves, take the poison poke, they don't know any better. Now, most of them do. It's a bit different now than it was 6 months ago, but still, it's a matter of life and death. Can't we just speak up? Oh, I might lose a friend. Well, you're going to lose a friend anyway if they keel over dead. Wouldn't it be better if they were at least alive and maybe had a chance? All right. You must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of Yahuwah, and as you know, I like to put the real name in there. One of the lies we've been told for century after century is that his name is the Lord or God. It's not. At best, that's a title, not even the real title. His name is over and over 7,000 plus times in Scripture is Yod Heh Vav Heh. So wherever it says his name, call him by his name, or they will know that my name is, let's use the real name, for crying out loud, not keep lying about it, especially when it says, keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. For the eyes of Yahuwah, Yod Heh Vav Heh, are towards the righteous, those that walk in obedience to his word, his instruction. And his ears attend their prayer, but the face of Yahuwah is against evildoers. Isn't that what we've been talking about? And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, obedience to him, you're still blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Don't fear their poison poke, their mask mandates. Don't fear their lying BS. Don't even fear their armed 80,000 plus IRS agents that the Biden Fuhrer, but it's the same thing. Remember who's pulling the strings here, is going to send against all of those people who won't be good little Nazis. Don't fear their intimidation. Do not be in dread, but sanctify the Mashiach, the real one, Yeshua, the son of Yah, as Adonai in your hearts. Be always ready. And here's the verse that I was leading up to. This is the one that I really want to focus on just for a second here. And always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you, they question you, to give an account for the hope that's in you. Do it with gentleness and respect, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing which you are slandered, those who disparage your good behavior in him will be put to shame. Hey, isn't it better if it's the will of Yah that you suffer for doing what's right rather than doing what's wrong, especially if doing what's wrong means either keeping silent or lying to people and getting them killed, or better, or I guess worse still, if you're a nurse or a doctor or a medical professional and you've been lying to people and injecting them with the poison poke, how many murders are on your head? I got to admit, folks, I see a so-called doctor that took an oath to first do no harm and to talk about things like informed consent that is killing people, especially injecting pregnant women and causing miscarriages, well, spontaneous abortions, deaths in women and their children, unborn and never to be born? I got to admit, that just plain, there's a bad word that I almost used. You know what it is. That just torques me off. These are murderers. Again, here's a litmus test. Honestly, any so-called doctor that doesn't know enough to come out of the rain, that doesn't know enough to understand when he's killing people and what's truth and what's not, I don't want anything to do with that SO you know what. All right. So if it's his will that you suffer, better that you do what's right than what's wrong. Oh, but I'll lose my license. Well, good. You deserve to. You're not a doctor. You're a murderer. Let's move the Overton window again. Call it what it is, folks. These are people's lives that are at stake. And what Kefa Peter is telling you here is, better you suffer for the sake of righteousness. Don't fear their intimidation. Don't be in dread. And be ready to give an account for the hope that is in you. And that's what I'm going to encourage us to do today. That's what we're looking at. Again, we know where it ends up. Come out of her, my people. By the way, some of this should apply to those of us that are thinking, well, I know I should have come by now, but I haven't. Well, what's keeping you? Oh, well, I've got a job. Well, is your job worth your life? Seriously, how much time do you have? At the point where it'll be real obvious, and I've said this for years, the shelves at Walmart are empty, the power's down, there's gridlock in the cities, you can't get out. It's a bit too late at that point to say, gee, I really wish I should have come. At that point, somebody throws a brick through your window, they haul you out and eat your carcass. We are talking about life and death, people, and really, it is getting awfully late. And if there haven't been too many warnings like Biden's Gates of Hell speech, how many more are people going to need before they realize, woo, it is a pretty late hour. Now, what I want to do next, and we'll do this for before we get to the bottom of the hour, and then I'll talk about some of these similar concepts, at least, when we get back. Again, the conclusions haven't changed, but we need to give an account for the hope that's in us so we can help other people to get to the logical conclusions. So here's a piece. I thought this was a pretty good summary of a number of things, and he makes a good point or two here from LeoHoman.com, and it's called Forget About Biden, Trudeau, Macron, and the Rest of the Communists, the WEF Puppet Politicians. It's the system that rules us, the system. In other words, the Great Reset, the communist, and let's not kid ourselves, it's really a communist, but more importantly, it's a fascist, public-private partnership. It's global, it is worldwide, it's undeniable. And that, he says, is what must be broken. All right, I've resisted the urge, because lots of other people have written about it, to talk about Joe Biden's September 1 Soul of a Nation, Gates of Hell speech. In a nutshell, he declared all Republicans, especially MAGA Republicans. Now, I'm going to repeat what I've been saying for a week or two now. The real answer is not MAGA, folks, Make America Great Again. The real answer is Make America God-Fearing Again, MAGFA. Because unless we get to that point, America ain't never going to be great again. America's not going to survive. We better be clear on that, too. Anyway, he's been literally marching jackboots in the direction of a uniparty state, one-party rule, the fascist party, the party, the only party that's going to be allowed. Okay, but still, he says, my concern is people's attention is too focused on the Biden Führer und the Messiah, the opposite of the Biden Führer. Are they two antichrists, two different versions of a distraction? That's kind of where he's headed here. In other words, Biden and Trump, and they're missing out on the sweeping global transformation that's going on. Speeches like the one the Biden Führer delivered on September 1st are intended to keep us distracted and diverted, because the globalists clearly are in the final stages of their long-running plan to push the U.S. and indeed the whole world into a new digital system designed, Achtung, for 100% compliance. No person will be left behind. This is from the UN Agenda 2030 documents, and I remember when the Bush Führer said, no child left behind, and I reminded people, I want my child left behind, because I know where they're taking them, literally to hell, to a dumbed-down communist, good little New World Order slave version. That's precisely what Bush was talking about, and that's been years ago, and we've moved ever further down that road. Anyway, don't lose sight of the fact that the Biden Führer is nothing but a puppet on the string, mouthing words that are meant to divide. And I think that's pretty clear. He goes on to say, look, Trump is a cheerleader. I'm not one of his cheerleaders. I fell out of love with him the first time I heard him brag about being the catalyst for the greatest medical experiment, literally a bioweapon unleashed on the world, the poison poke. The greatest genocide in human history. And Trump either was too stupid to see it and was duped by the likes of Fauci and Burks and all those others, or he was complicit. And either way, folks, he's culpable. And he still hasn't come right and admitted. If you remember, Alex Jones, to his credit, has said, hey, I'm not going to support the guy. He either can come out and admit he made the biggest mistake that a president's made when it comes to killing people, or he doesn't deserve anybody's support. All right. The article here from Homan goes on to say, look, if your goal really is to destroy a nation, you must first destroy its social cohesion. Okay. Honestly, though, I think he misses the mark with that one. No. Let's get more to the point. Its moral center is what's being destroyed. Make America God-fearing again. It's the fundamental self-evident truths that the founders said are so obvious that they agreed unanimously they were self-evident, undeniable, unalienable even. There is a God. The purpose of government is to secure the rights that come from him and him alone. And when a government becomes abusive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, period. If you destroy that moral fundamental center, well, guess what? The rest falls apart like a house of cards. Now, is that on the table? I'm gonna digress just for a second, because I can't read that without thinking of a very important line from one of my favorite Psalms. Actually, there's quite a few of them. But this is from Psalm 11. And it starts out where in verse 1 it says, in Yahuwah, no, not the Lord, in Yahuwah I put my trust. Okay, and then he goes on to say, look, hey, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrows on the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. Well, they're not even doing it secretly anymore, folks. They're coming right out on national TV from the gates of hell with the Marines on either shoulder saying, Achtung, we will take you, und destroy you. And we've just passed a bill saying 80,000 new IRS agents are here if the Gestapo FBI wasn't enough already. By the way, this is twice as many new armed IRS agents as the entire federal bunglers of investigation. What a mess. Remember what the founders said about a standing army, the bane of liberty. That's why they made sure that no appropriation for the army, because they didn't want it to be a standing army, would be more than 2 years. Well, hell, then they ignore the rest of the Constitution. We've got FBI, DOE, BATF, you name it, three letters, pick an agency. They probably got guns, and they're probably going to be used to kill you. For look, they bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. Here we go. This is the verse I want people to remember. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? He asks it as a question, but it's important. What have they done? They have literally destroyed the foundations. They have destroyed the rule of law. They have said Hitler is above the law, Donald Trump is below the law, and anybody that believes that the Constitution still matters, that there is a God and that we have rights from him, and that the purpose of things like the Second Amendment and First Amendment and Fourth Amendment was to secure these rights, the hell with you! Literally, look where Biden's speaking from. He put a wooden stake right there on the place where that document was signed, Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and said, here I am, I've turned it into the literal gates of hell, and he's destroyed it. Talking about our democracy. Well, if you read the founders, folks, and I guarantee you, these folks probably have, but they know that what the founders called democracy was the devil's own government. Such democracies have never been as short in their lives as they've been violent in their deaths. Well, that's what the Biden Fuhrer and those who talk about democracy are pushing for, a violent death. Understand this. The rest of Psalm 11 goes on to say, Yahuwah is in his holy temple. His throne is in the heavens. His eyes behold. He tests men and the sons of men. He tests the righteous. But the wicked, those who love violence, his soul hates. This is good news, but we're not there yet, obviously. Upon the wicked he'll rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind. That'll be the portion of their cup, because Yahuwah is righteous. He's literally righteousness in the flesh. That's what he came to do as the Torah made flesh. He and his countenance beholds the upright. And that's good to know. We'll pick it up there right after the bottom of the hour break. Don't leave a trace.
hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say great man. Tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Oh, no, no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
We are back. This is the Come Out of Her My People show. I'm your host, Mark Collin. Today, we're talking about things in a little bit different way, simply because by now, most everybody knows the conclusions of the show are always going to be from that same verse that the show's title is based on, Come Out of Her My People. Don't participate in her sin so you don't partake of her plagues. They haven't changed. But what has is the fact that it's getting to be almost impossible to deny that we should have come out already. And so what do we do? And especially when we have friends, we have neighbors, we have family who have not yet done so. Maybe in some cases we can look in the mirror and say, we should have gotten out. We know that too. So what we need to be doing is arming ourselves. And I'm not only talking physically, especially, of course, I'm talking spiritually. But in this case, I'm talking about arm yourself with the facts. Arm yourself with an understanding of being able to make a defense to everyone who asks you, hey, why should we come out? What's going on here? Give them an account for the hope that's within you. Do it with gentleness and respect, and do it with authority based on an understanding of the truth. And you can point out the lies. And if they haven't seen the Gates of Hell speech from the Biden-Fuhrer, and they don't have at least an understanding, boy, something really dark and sinister was going on there, you'd have got to ask, what's wrong? All right, I outlined a couple things in the first segment. In this one, I'll simply pick it up by noting that at least in Europe, they didn't have the Biden-Fuhrer to watch. I'm sure some of them did with horror. But, for example, in Poland, people literally lined up in their cars for 3 days just to buy coal. Why? Because they can see what's coming. In Britain and in other places, Germany and most of Europe for that matter, there has been incredible inflation in energy supplies, things like natural gas, gasoline, things that they need to heat themselves this winter. It's up 1,000% in a lot of cases. This is incredible. It's caused smelters, aluminum, copper, iron, steel smelters to shut their doors. They can't be profitable. They can't even employ people anymore. The system is coming apart at the seams. I'll say it again. It's by design. This is the Great Reset. They intend to destroy it all and build a communist system, a fascist public-private partnership in its place. I'll pick up that story in just a minute from Leo Homan. But this is part of it. And yet, if you look at Europe, obviously there are places where more people are waking up. In Prague, Czech Republic, over the weekend, 70,000 people descended on the city because they can see what's coming. They don't want to freeze this winter. So that leads us to back to the piece here, where when I cut and went to a quick digression, Homan was pointing out, look, it's not about whether you support which of the two twin evils, right? Now, clearly, people would say, well, one is far more evil than the other. I'm not going to argue that. It's like saying, what smells worse, you know, the stuff that comes out of the back of a cow or a human? It's all you know what. But here's the problem. Trump, at best, is a puppet. The actual president, he should have, I think, literally, folks, he should have forced the issue years ago. He knew or should have known what was at stake. Given that I think anybody with a brain, and I was among those who was talking about where we're at now and what was coming, knew what Biden was going to do. They knew this speech from hell was coming. They knew that the American people were going to be the enemy, that there was an open war being declared. Why didn't Trump just come right out and say it? There won't be a peaceful transition of power. They intend to kill me anyway. Let's just have that battle now. Well, he didn't. We won't probably in this life at least ever know why. But what we do know is, I've said this as well, about the worst thing that could happen in this country is a civil war. Well, with the exception of what we're going to get now instead, that we didn't get it before. And it'll probably end up in a civil war anyway. Trump should have never hired a bunch of people, scumbags, like Bill Barr as Attorney General, Christopher Wray as the Hormeister in charge of the FBI, his own son-in-law, Jared Kushner, Marxist Milley, the traitor, as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and a whole bunch of other folks. I mean, you got to admit, this guy that made his bones literally by saying, "You're fired," didn't ultimately say it once when it really mattered. And I kept waiting for it, and it didn't happen. So something was horribly wrong there. All right. He goes on then to say, look, here is the strength of the globalist system that's being hidden by this battle between the two satanic forces, the uniparty's two twin wings. The globalists, he says, are masters at manipulating public opinion through their roster of puppet politicians. Even those that are hated by their own national populations. Look at men like Biden, Trudeau in Canada, Mario Draghi in Italy, Emmanuel Macron in France. He goes on and on and on. They're all puppets of the World Economic Forum, which is the puppet master. The strength of the globalist system right now, and this is an interesting observation, is that it really does not have a human face, which would allow its opponents to rally against it. There is no globalist Biden-Fuhrer. He's probably as close as we get. But when it comes to the national puppets, most people aren't aware who the real leaders are. There's no global system with a visible global leader, at least not yet. Now, if we've read Scripture, we know there will be. And, you can hardly wait for that, right? But the closest thing we have yet is Klaus Schwab, the fellow who literally looks like a Nazi, talks like a Nazi, acts like a Nazi, and he's literally a Bond villain. A lot of folks don't know who he is, but even if they do, they're not about to take him seriously, says Holman, because he does look such like a Bond villain. He's too old. He's almost cartoonish in his villainy. The tyranny coming at us from so many angles is difficult to pinpoint because it's baked into a system supported by both of the two puppet political parties in the United States. They can rail against each other all they want. How many times, folks, have you seen Republicans win elections and then fail to do exactly what they promised? Trump did the same thing, going to fire them all. What do we have? Fauci is still there, for crying out loud. He's going to ride off and take his billions with him. How many does he have? Oh, well, you're not allowed to know that. You can know all about Trump's tax returns, but don't you dare to ask about the science and what he did to produce gain-of-function research and engage in the killing of how many billions of people worldwide. Okay, the tyranny coming at us, he says, literally is baked into the system because both parties support it. And with few exceptions, it's all about the public-private partners. Silicon Valley, Big Pharma, the intelligence agencies, the military-industrial biomedical establishment. The system, and he's not the first to suggest this, could be appropriately described as global technocracy. And, of course, it's a fascist public-private partnership supported by this global technocracy. And technocracy, in case you haven't heard the term, is the science of social engineering. And it results in rule by experts, the science. And I'll add this, he doesn't talk about it, but I'll mention it here and probably add a comment or two as we go through this. Soon, AI, if it's not already AI, because, oh yes, we can't trust people, but we can trust the biggest electronic AI brother. You're getting used to Siri and Alexa and all. They know, don't they? I saw a really disgusting thing about Wobot today, advertising it for kids. It's an app you can put on your phone. And when mommy and daddy won't listen to you, Wobot will. How disgusting is this? Talking about something that's non-human, literally soulless, and getting kids adjusted, if they're not already, to the idea of, they won't listen to you, but Wobot will. And Wobot later will probably tell you to turn in your mom and dad and rat them out to the Stasi and the IRS and you name it. Can you see where all this is headed? Again, it's not hard at this point to say you'd have to be a fool to deny the obvious connections. Okay, the globalists want us to hate political office holders. Now, this is another one of these interesting observations that he makes, and he makes a pretty good case. A lot of people, rightfully, hate the Biden-Fuhrer, and those that don't hate the Biden-Fuhrer certainly hate Trump. Can you love one and not hate the other? Well, anyway, and it's all about getting people to lose faith in an electoral system based on voting machines that they cram down people's throats that everybody with half a brain knows are literally fraud in software.
They want us to see them, those who are going to come in and replace this failing system, as the saviors, the software engineers, unelected bureaucrats. The EU, by the way, is all unelected bureaucrats. Scientists, the white hats, they will ride to the rescue. All right. Trust the science. This was the religion behind the Fauci, Dr. Mengele, and allowing him to declare the COVID plandemic and to do anything and everything, literally cram down people's throats to what? To destroy the entire world economy and to destroy the United States along with it. In this system, the anointed ones transcend us mere mortals, and they demand our submission. Now, I have also pointed out, and I'll suggest, read scripture. You'll see there's a theme that runs through it, whether you want to call it Babylon or Egypt or the greater Babylon metro area, as I refer to the modern version. What we have is literally a different form of idolatry. Oh, well, our idolatry is not like the kind that we used to have, where they sacrifice children to Molech. No, we sacrifice them to Big Brother. Is there a difference? Ultimately, it's the same blood. It's a similar, but not quite the same altar. And where are they headed? The biggest brother you can imagine. And it's literally idolatrous. And if that's not enough, you are pretty close to seeing where it will come out with an AI that will be the world savior. So expect it. Never mind it was these very experts, faceless technocrats, bureaucrats, who designed the system of oppression and crammed it down people's throats, the lockdowns, the fiat, the digital biopasses, the mark of the beast. Okay, he says, hey, let's give one quick example. I've talked about this, so I won't belabor it. But in Colorado, not long ago, Xcel, the energy company, put about 23 Colorado customers with smart machines who were duped into enrolling in the AC Rewards program to get money back on their utility bills. But instead, they gave up control of their home thermostat. Und Achtung, as they discovered, when you wanted it most, you can't have it. This is how these programs always start. They're voluntary with incentive, but not for long. And then they are mandated. And pretty soon, they'll kill you if you don't want to participate. And it becomes punitive. One gentleman interviewed by the local news channel in Denver said, "This is not what we signed up for." Oh, yes, it was. And that's the point. Okay, he goes on then to talk about the new systems in cars that are coming out at the behest of the Bill Gates and Klaus Schwabs of the global predator class. A friend has a new Ford 2022 F-150 pickup. And he said he was driving down the road the other day. This is funny in a kind of a sinister, idolatrous AI way. He's driving down the road one day and he yawned. And immediately a message flashed up on the dash cam screen, and it said, "You are tired. Please stop und rest." He said all he did was yawn, but that was still enough to trigger the command from the artificial intelligence that was driving the truck. Now, for now, the truck was nice to him. It did not force him. But guess what? It won't be long. Says Leo Holman, I researched the F-150. Sure enough, that model is equipped with what Ford calls the driver alert system. For now, at least, you can turn it off. Remember what Orwell said? Yeah, that was how TVs used to be, and then you couldn't turn them off either. But newer models will not have the off switch, probably by 2026, when the Biden regime has, as part of that latest $1+ trillion that's been mandated, that all new vehicles be outfitted with a remote kill switch. So Big Brother can literally shut your car down. Now, we've already been talking about the central bank digital currencies, the executive order that has been signed back in March. It's going to come into a larger degree of effect come late fall, early December this year. And when that happens, how long is it until you'll find that, the new digital bucks that replace the fiat dollar, I can't use them to buy gas. I can't use them to go places Big Brother doesn't want me to go. I can't do anything because my socialist credit score wasn't high enough and so forth. Why, it's almost like no one would be allowed to buy or sell unless they do whatever Big Brother wants them to. Okay, this is life in a full-blown technocracy. And by the way, it's totalitarian. No control over your home thermostat, your vehicle, your own bodily autonomy. You might have to get your 15th COVID booster shot, your annual flu shot. Hey, this is why the Biden-Führer's czar the other day said, "This is why Satan gave you two arms." Well, he said God, but we know it's not the God of the Bible he's talking about. One arm for the COVID shot, another for the flu shot. I kid you not, folks. This is satanic stuff. Listen to Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau speaking to the children in his country and saying, make sure you're up to date on your shots or we will have to lock you down again, you bad little dumb children, you. He tossed out a figure, 90%. I don't think it was random, says Leo. Don't get distracted by Biden's latest infuriating speech or Trudeau's inflammatory arrogance. It's all about taking your eyes off the real enemy, which is the system. You need to opt out of it at every point where it touches your life. Try to remain free and independent of the AI-driven global system that is built and designed only to do one thing, to enslave you. Oh, and yes, guess what? It will be kind of like what Genesis 3 warned about. You can be like God, you will not die. Well, at least there'll be an entity, a global AI entity, that will be omnipotent, omnipresent. It knows all. It sees all. It's like Santa. He knows if you've been bad or good, so you better be good for hell's sake. They can close this deal if enough people buy into it voluntarily, he says. So far, we don't have 90% compliance. Honestly, I believe that in terms of a biblical remnant, they're going to get pretty close to that. But it's going to call for spiritual endurance and strength. And on all of those scores, I agree. And as you might suspect, that takes us to the conclusion. But before we do that, I want to throw out just a little bit more armament for those that are paying attention here. This piece is kind of the alternative. This is a fellow writing for the Gatestone Institute. I'm going to quote the article. I'll give the name. I'm going to disagree with it a lot. Lawrence Kadish, who says, standing at a podium in Philadelphia, and he gets this wrong, the Biden Fuhrer recently sought to leverage the heritage of a city that gave birth to our American democracy. You see why I picked out this piece to pick on. This is somebody who's beginning to see it, but come on, they still don't quite get it. He made a fiercely partisan speech, says the author, that its ultimate legacy, though, may be to further divide an already divided nation. Are you kidding me? The point was to do exactly that. And let's just call it what it is. So as I go through this, you're going to see wrong, wrong, wrong. And still, it's interesting that even some of these people who would say, oh, I'm in the center, are starting to go, oh, this was disturbing. It was so divisive. Do you think he could have meant to be so divisive? Look at his hands in the air. Look at how he looks like Adolf, talks like Adolf. All he's missing is a little Hitler mustache. And he's not alone. This fella may be one of the few that didn't get it. If you've seen the memes, again, most everybody else got it. Well, says the author here, had Biden been more truthful about current challenges facing the nation, he could have stood inside a supermarket where prices needed for basic staples are skyrocketing. He could have gone to a New York neighborhood where career criminals have been presented with a get-out-of-jail card by the socialists that are running Biden and his party. Then again, he could have stood at a gasoline pump. These realities reveal that America's at a dangerous tipping point where the future of our nation is literally in question. Well, that's 80% true. He gets a B minus for effort. The tipping point, folks, has probably already passed. What we're seeing now are people who are recognizing you're either part of the remnant or you're part of those that are going to the gulags. The stark reality, now get this, and this is the point where I want to make sure we understand this and move that Overton window a bit. We're arming ourselves so that we can deal with friends, family, and neighbors. The stark reality, he says, apologizing for this idiocy, is that the current White House occupants have compounded error upon error. Oh, really? This is just cataclysmically stupid errors? Or are these people as evil as the red background from the gates of hell that they chose to put there makes them seem? Again, this is not error upon error. I've long said, hey, never ascribe to conspiracy that which can be explained by stupidity. But the point is, this can't be explained by stupidity. You don't make this many mistakes by accident. This is planned. This is executed. This is deliberate. This is deadly. And it's intentional as all hell. And you saw it right there at the gates of hell speech. A speech long on partisan rhetoric, he said, but short on competence, will not address the strategic errors in judgment being made by those who took a sacred oath of office to preserve, defend, and protect our nation. Are you kidding me? Literally, there comes a point at which we just have to say, how stupid can people be? He took an oath. Do you think he may be intent to violate it before he ever stole the office to begin with? Do you think just maybe you don't make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake and cover it up and lie about it without it being at least more than a bit intentional? All right. The idea here, I think, is clear. I don't have time to go through this last story in the detail it deserves, but I'm going to mention it because it leads to the conclusion you already know I was headed to anyway. This is a great piece by Charles Hugh Smith of Two Minds blog, and he's talking about cities and why they may no longer be viable. And let me see if I can do about a three-minute synopsis of this. But he says, you know, if you look back at human history, the human migration from countryside to cities has been an enduring feature of civilization. They concentrated wealth, productivity, and power. They're magnets to talent and to capital. They offer newcomers the greatest opportunities. Cities are efficient. They pack population, productivity, and wealth creation into small areas. The idea is the things that people need are right at hand. Cities generally arose on coastal harbors, navigable rivers, or at confluences of overland trade routes. Those places enabled profitable trade and transport of goods protected by defensible barriers. In other words, there were lots of good reasons why cities grew economically, physically. In some, cities offered unmatched advantages over widely distributed settlements, trade, production. Given their strategic location, regional dominances, they tended to become political, military, and cultural centers as well, and also economic and financial heavyweights. But what's the problem is, things have changed. The nature of cities has changed. So has their viability. And he quotes the New York City history with the creation of the Erie Canal, when New York became a major port and a city, a place where cheap immigrant labor, precursors to all sorts of products, could be brought together immediately in a value-added manner for finishing into finished manufactured goods. But in the 1970s, all that began to change. Now, I'm going to suggest it changed when the fiat money system destroyed actual wealth and replaced it with manipulable, dishonest weights and measures. The core dynamic of the last 40 years has been financialization, which replaced value-added trade and goods with financial instruments and services. Now, this is key, and think about it in the context of what we're talking about now, arming people for the battle ahead. As globalization and financialization transition to hyper-globalization and hyper-financialization, cities became magnets. No, not for productivity, for manufacturing, for providing things people needed, but instead for real estate speculation, global capital seeking a safe place to park fiat money, healthcare, which is now degraded into exactly the same kind of thing that financialization brings, and so-called higher education, likewise degraded, status-enhancing conspicuous consumption, i.e. the good life, oh, all kinds of wonderful cultural attractions, cafes, bars, nightlife, the foundations of global tourism, now the primary industry in a lot of those once great cities. The shift to finance, instead of actually making things people needed and providing a safe place, funded both the speculation and the consumption. Cities morphed from centers of value-added manufacturing and trade to financial transaction centers and the origination of financial instruments, which all of them, well, they fostered exactly what you see today, cesspools of degradation based on what? Dishonest weights and measures. Think about it. As the cities moved from places where capital was congregated to be more effective at providing things people needed into, in fact, centers of theft, think Sodom and Gomorrah, folks, and they eroded competence and accountability. He goes into some detail on that. You can kind of follow it through. But basically, the only large-scale industry with sufficient heft to demand competence in these big cities is tourism. And their existence depends on the city. So as a result, globalization and financialization have now hollowed out the traditional economic foundations of cities in favor of services and entertainment, speculative gains. In other words, the things that built the cities are long gone. They're dead and buried. What has replaced them is something satanic and evil, and all you got to do is look at the cities and recognize it. So what he is talking about here is, I think, a really interesting understanding of a trend that certainly leads right to where I usually end up going. And that is, if you're in one of those places, get the hell, and I mean it because it's becoming a hell on earth. If it's not obvious already, by the time you figure it out, it may very well be. But he didn't even address the energy, the collapse that's built into the system, the violence that comes with it when the power goes out. Look at a place, especially like a New York City, where there's only a few ways, bridges and tunnels, in and out of an island. When the grid goes down, when the fuel isn't delivered, the food won't be delivered, and guess what's going to happen to 10 million plus people on an island with no way out? Answer? People are going to find out what cannibalism looks like. And, oh, is it really polite to say that? Folks, we might as well tell it like it is. Let's move that Overton window. The conclusions, again, haven't changed. But what has changed is what I call this spirit of urgency that we need to have to recognize how late the hour really is. And it's not just getting out of the cities, of course. It's understanding that we need to build alternative systems. What was it that the cities offered? Well, they had food. They had manufacturing. They had capabilities. Now, I'm not supposing and suggesting we build cities, but I am suggesting what we build are alternatives outside the system. Come out of her, my people. When the AI beast is unleashed and no one is allowed to buy or sell, but with the Biden bucks, central bank inflated digital currencies, and all of the literal hell on earth that goes with it, what will you have to do? Do you have alternatives? Do you have skills? Can you trade? Can you offer people something in exchange for food, for shelter, for the ability to survive, for the place that we need to be?
All of these things we need to be thinking about and doing now. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.